CliffCentral.com. Say you won't let go.
Just say you won't let go. It's James Arthur with Say You Won't Let Go. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. Monday. Time to get things done. All right, listen to this. We were talking about shopping earlier and what a nightmare it is to get to the shopping malls at this time of year. Some people love it. Some people find it exciting that you're shopping while Christmas music is playing and the decorations are up and everybody's rushing around you in Santa outfits going, spend here, spend here, spend here, spend here. But some people hate it. This woman is ranting about the music in a clothes store. Listen to this. She loses her mind.
I'm officially the age where I complain about the volume in clothing stores. So I'm down at the Gap here. Go in for some corduroy pants and some long sleeve tees for my boy. Did not sign up for a Lady Gaga concert. Y'all, I cannot even concentrate. I cannot even read the price tags because I got blaring in my ear.
Does she sound like a reasonable human being?
No, not a chance.
All right. I didn't go to a rave. I didn't bring my glow sticks. So I finally get what I need. Get up to the front. There's this young boy checking me out at the register. Very happy fella. He's kind of bobbing around to the music loud as heck. He's like, did you find everything you need? And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, did you find everything you need? I said, yeah. So he's dancing around. Da-da-da. This is what he does. Out of nowhere. He's just ringing up my stuff out of nowhere. You know, ringing it up. And then he goes, I can make your hands clap. Whoa. Took me a little by surprise there. Thought I was about to be attacked. I said, whoa, buddy, you startled me a little bit there. Now, didn't know what you were doing. Didn't expect a game of patty cake right in my face like that. Freaked me out a little bit. So I finally got out, got my stuff, got out of there. Realized I'm too old for this. Got my SUV and took my BC powder. Too loud. God bless.
Ah, shame. I kind of feel sorry for her.
Oh, huh? Wow.
Not everybody has... not everybody has a happy time.
No, shame.
You got to be...
For some people, it really just takes the smallest, tiniest little things to...
upset their whole equilibrium.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, look, some stores, it's a whole thing. They want you to have an experience. So they put on loud music and sometimes they have certain playlists that they like. I'm trying to think of a store. Flax, you'll also know. A store in South Africa that just plays a lot of loud music.
Checkers has the best Christmas playlist I've ever heard.
Really?
It's just constant non-stop hits, but sing-along hits that you just want to spend more time.
But like Christmas stuff?
Yes, I love it.
I haven't been to Checkers for a long time. What kind of things do they play?
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle,
jingle bell
rock.
Right, that
one. Na-na-na-na. What are the other classics?
Peshitta, what Christmas
Holy
music do you like?
Holy night.
Unconventional.
Unconventional?
Yeah. I like
what, you like the... Go over here to this microphone. Let's put you on the mic.
I like it when the remix stuff. Like, it's so sleepy to... KG and I went to this other bottle store here in Checkers, and they were playing this other Christmas music that made me want to kill myself.
What was it?
It was like horrible, like some person
Flex's
just going.
Song.
Just going Christmas. This was
horrible. You don't like that morbid carol stuff, right?
What's the point of that? I want some jumpy stuff. There's stuff you can dance to.
This is what you want. Sorry, what was that, Peshitta? I can't hear you over the music.
Oh.
All right. This is what you want, Flax.
Yeah, do you have Holy Night? I could do with a bit of that.
Holy. Okay, so the song has been changed. It's now called Holy Night.
I think it's called Holy Night. That was one of the songs Tara did last night with the Soweto Gospel Choir. Wow. Ben, you can vouch for that.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Hey, Kat. Kat's also here bright and early. She gets here so early in the morning. I think it's partly because she works so hard anyway, and that's her ethic, but I think it's also because she wants to miss the traffic, right?
Yes,
yes.
Definitely.
Yes. So what did you think about carols last night?
I was very impressed. I was part of last year's show, or I think it was the year before.
Yes.
And I have to say, this year was much, much better. Like, Deboho Lowe from Idols, he sang
Oh,
he's good, huh?
My gosh.
Yeah.
Ben
was saying,
voice.
When you hear these people singing, you actually realize in person, you know, not just on TV, you realize how good they are.
And Tara and Norma, you did a duet with Norma. I did not know you had pipes like that.
Yeah, well.
I didn't know Alan Ford could sing.
There are two places I will sing. One is to make people laugh, and the other one is when it's for charity. Otherwise, you won't ever hear it.
Sure. So, yeah. I was very impressed.
Okay, thanks.
It was worth the drive.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a Gold Reef City night last night.
Well done, guys.
Are you all Christmas shopped out, or you haven't even started yet?
We don't do that stuff. Christmas shopping, no, it's not for us.
So what do you do for Christmas?
So my family own a petrol station and a shop, so we've always worked on Christmas when I was growing up.
Right.
So we just have a Christmas lunch on the 26th. Granny's house.
But that's very good.
Yeah, we don't do the presents.
Somebody's got to work around Christmas, right?
Somebody. I mean,
people got to fill their cars.
You know, exactly. This is our busiest time of the year.
Right.
So good. I've probably only received a Christmas gift like once in my entire life, which is like in nursery school.
Is that why you're always angling for freebies around the office?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. You want to know what my favorite Christmas song is?
What?
And I don't know what it's called, but it's by Nat King Cole, and it's like a slow...
That
like,
chestnuts roasting on the open fire.
That is one. My favorite song.
Oh, sorry, I ran Mubs' steez there.
No, you did not.
Yeah,
I was
know
going
that
to
song.
Embarrass myself. So.
That's my favorite song.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Speaking of embarrassment, Mubs, so on Friday night, one of Gareth's friends said, you know, Ben should really sing for the carols because it'll be really fun.
Yeah.
So Gareth said, no, people have actually paid to come here. It'd be really embarrassing if Ben was on the stage.
Hey, I see no lies.
And a woman came to me last night and said, Ben, why aren't you singing? I was like, well, I can't. And she's like, no, come on, it'd be interesting.
You should have had a comic relief section on the program and then put Ben in there.
I didn't feel it was necessary to punish people, you know, that they're there to support Headway. Let's not put them through all kinds of pain and torment.
Hey, do you wanna play a bit of general knowledge?
Okay,
slash guessing game.
Who wants to play general knowledge?
Okay, well, actually, it's more of a guessing game.
All right, let's go.
Who is the future mayor of Nkandla?
The future mayor of Nkandla?
Yes, it's been determined already.
The future mayor?
Yes.
The current one is an IFP dude, right? I think so. This is a tough question. All right, give us the answer.
All right.
Because I don't know.
President Jacob Zuma wants to be the mayor of Nkandla once he steps down.
This guy, he's got...
Once he steps down as the country's president.
He's too ambitious. That's it.
He revealed all of this at the special provincial funeral of struggle stalwart veteran Riot Mkhwanazi. This was near Mpangeni.
His name is Riot Mkhwanazi. Okay.
This took place near Mpangeni in KZN on Sunday.
All right.
Quote, this is now the president speaking. When I say I want to contest to be a councillor in my ward when I take my pension, people laugh.
Sorry, take his pension. He's not taking enough. Is he getting a pension as well?
But it's not personal. It's organizational. I was just telling someone yesterday that my ambition is to be mayor of Nkandla one day. Guys, have you not learned your lesson? You must not laugh when the president speaks things into being. Because we all know that the president always gets what he wants.
Yeah.
And he gets away with whatever he wants.
Sure.
If he says Nkandla, he wants to be the next mayor of Nkandla, he is going to be the next, mayor. It's going to happen.
Sure. Those poor people of Nkandla.
Would that even be allowed?
Yeah, of course. You can run. Anyone can run. You could run as mayor, Mubs.
It's not really my thing.
You could, though. If you felt like it. Hey, we found out on Friday that Rami Shwene went to school with Julius Malema. They lived in the same neighborhood. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, now you know. Just thought I'd throw that fact in there.
I mean, did they know each other?
Not
growing
really.
Up?
She said they went to the same church as well, and he was already a revolutionary in the church. So who knows? All right, well, that's exciting. Good people of Nkandla, you have that to look forward to.
Yes.
So when he's off the national stage, he'll come and terrorize you on the local stage.
Interestingly, because after the elections on August the 3rd, 54% of the vote went to the Nkandla Freedom Party, right? In KZN. But the ward...
Yeah!
the ward in which the president's private Nkandla homestead is situated, Ward 14.
The one we paid for.
That was retained by the ANC.
Oh, okay.
So it's still ANC run.
All right.
And, well, you know, if the president is serious about his future ambitions, he will definitely be the next mayor of Ward 14 in Nkandla.
Well, it's the little things.
It's, you know, it's
like being mayor when you're an old man and you're retired and you've done your thing. It's not a step down, it's redeployment. No, if that could happen sooner rather than later, we would all support him. Huh? Let him mismanage Nkandla rather than the whole country. All right, what else is going on?
Okay, so this issue around how often we really need to be showering, it's still in the news, and more, quote-unquote...
This is not related to the previous story.
No, this is not. More, quote-unquote, experts are weighing in on the discussion of whether or not it really is necessary for us to bath or shower every single day of our lives. Now, according to The Guardian, daily showers are expensive, they polluting, and they are unnecessary, right? A 10-minute shower wastes about 60 liters of water. A bath wastes about 80 liters. And to combat these environmental factors, more and more people are apparently opting for the once-a-week revolution or the sink wash.
I don't like this.
You know what the sink wash is, of course,
right? I don't like this. It's where you get... Pompin.
Yeah, it's where you get into just the critical areas. So your groin, your armpits. So according to a Dr. Elaine Larson, who is an infectious diseases expert and associate dean for research at Columbia University School of Nursing, she explains that the fact that we bath or shower every day is mostly for aesthetic reasons.
Oh, really?
And according to her...
She obviously hasn't been around stinky people very often.
And according to her, it turns out that bacterially, it's not actually essential for health.
Listen, lady, I hate to be the one that breaks this to you, but a lot of filthy people need to shower and bath every day. Ben, back me up on this. She's out of her mind, right?
There is nothing worse than being somewhere and someone just pongs. Like
smell is bad, all right?
There was a guy on the car train the other day, and he lifted his arms, and of course, that he wasn't wearing out sleeves, and he like just vest open stuff.
Ugh.
And it was like that movie Backdraft when they try to save the kid. I felt like air pushing you backwards. It was just rough.
Please, can we just all agree that it's not a good idea for anyone to have huge amounts of body odor when they're going to be around other people? Look, and if you're at home and during the holidays now, you could do what you want. No one's going to complain. No one's going to give you uphill. Do what you like. But not in public places. Come on. Come on!
Dr. Larson notes that showering and bathing is effective when it comes to removing this odor that we're talking about. So, for example, after a gym session, after a long day in the sun, just before sex.
Right.
Please shower before sex, people.
Tidy yourselves up.
Please.
Please.
But a lot of scientists, Gareth, believe that our society's current obsession with cleanliness, because that's what they call it, has caused our immune systems to become hypersensitive to foreign assaults of all kinds.
That's also true.
Whether harmful or beneficial. Yeah, there's also a lot of talk that's been going on about how harmful soaps apparently are for us.
Look, I get that, but we've got to find a happy medium where dirty, filthy people don't pollute the whole environment.
Hey, yeah, they're saying the happy medium is the sink wash. I told you, Moss. Groin, armpits, face. And then brush your teeth.
Come, let's agree now. Let's make it policy. Okay, what's the policy, Mubs? Come on. You get to choose.
No. I'm going to carry on showering every day of my life. Sometimes more than once a day.
You don't give a damn about these rules.
No, I don't care.
Good for you.
And I don't care about the harm I'm doing to the environment either. I honestly don't.
The environment's there for you, right?
Well, I mean, in this instance, I absolutely don't care.
Yeah. All right, me too. I'm with Mabali. I'm sorry. If you're an activist, if you're a green... You know, you're one of those people who's all into the environment and conservation and stuff. You go ahead. Mubs and I are keeping ourselves clean. At least every day we're going to wash and bath and shower.
Go ahead, guys, but just don't have a 10-minute shower. Don't fill the bath right at the top. It's just small things like common sense. You can all be clean.
I don't do 10-minute baths.
Exactly. Showers, you mean?
Showers.
Stay in the bath as long as you want.
Please, I haven't used a bath for a long time.
It's just basic common sense, moderation. We can all be clean.
I think we can all agree then. Are we all agreed? Is this policy? Yes. Signed. It's done. We're into policy now. Good.
Guess who turned 100 years old over the weekend?
I know.
Yes, you
I know. I know who turned 100 years old.
Yes, you do.
Jenny Chris Williams.
No.
Oh.
No. This would be a man.
Barry Ronger.
No, this would be an American man, Ben. Hollywood, of Hollywood circles.
Kirk Douglas.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
100. He made it to 100.
He looks 100. Let's be fair. The guy looks 100. But well done to Kirk Douglas. I mean, to make it that age. You know that means Michael Douglas is going to make it to 120, right? You know that.
Yep.
Sure.
And Anne is his wife, right? She's also like a million years old.
Yes, Anne, his wife, and they've been married over 62 years.
Right.
Anne was present. His son Michael Douglas was there. His daughter-in-law Catherine Zeta-Jones was there.
Apparently
and
they
his
had a big
grandchildren
party
were also there.
Yeah.
As was his rabbi and, you know, like a whole bunch of other Hollywood royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he surrounded by friendly faces, he knew, as promised by his doctor years ago, that if he lived to 100, he would get to have a glass of vodka. And so that's exactly what he did on his birthday. He had so much vodka.
Welcome. Listen. Hey, everybody here. Let me be the first.
This is George Clooney, by the way. George Clooney, who's introducing this.
Aspen, Colorado, where Michael proposed almost 16 years ago. Catherine shared this sweet moment on Instagram, captioning it, 16 years ago, this was the spot where my husband proposed. So cute. The two clearly had a great time hitting the slopes, with their marriage going strong. Huh. Although they split briefly in 2013, at a recent AARP Movie Awards, Douglas confirmed they were back and stronger than ever. And look how cute Catherine looks in her ski wear. We are so happy to see this couple having a blast in the Rockies.
All right. There we go. There's a little. That's what Michael and Catherine got up to, because clearly they're still together. But then George Clooney led the celebrations for Kirk Douglas's 100th birthday. George Clooney, who would have known, huh?
Yeah.
He was the MC at the 100 year. Listen to this. For God's sake, I can't get the stupid woman to shut up in the background. Oh, my God. How irritating. Let me just see if I can get just Michael Douglas. But 100 years old, that's incredible.
Unbelievable.
And Kirk said, when he made his speech, he said, which I couldn't have said
better. It's one of his better speeches, got to be said. Really heartfelt.
Good for him. Well done to Kirk. I mean, that's exactly what I would have said.
Kirk Douglas was actually quite the man. If you go through his life story, you know, he was the producer of Spartacus, not just the actor.
Well, he was also Spartacus.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
And that movie was 17 hours long, and it was groundbreaking, and he was the producer.
17 hours long.
He was the guy basically impaled at the end. I mean, yes. He just did everything.
Yes.
Didn't he wear a leather thong and a skirt?
Yeah, of course. Well, he didn't, though.
I mean, in the movie, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, his wife, Anne, has stood by him the whole time, and she helped him. She nursed him when he was sick. They both have, I think Kirk has a walker, and she's in a wheelchair. So they need a lot of people around when they move around, you know? When they go somewhere, they need to have a whole crew.
Also, you need to be patient if you happen to be walking behind them.
Imagine
you
being
need
stuck.
To be very patient.
All right, let me just make your shopping, Christmas shopping, even worse. Imagine you walking through the Mall of Africa, but you're stuck behind Kirk, Anne, and all their minders. How long do you think that's going to take? And Professor Magube is walking in front of them.
Sure.
How long is it going to take you?
Well, if you were at the pay station and you paid for your parking ticket and then you got stuck walking behind them, by the time you actually leave the complex,
you'd have to go and pay a ticket
your
again.
Your ticket will have expired. That's how long it will take.
All right, very good. There we go. That's Michael Douglas, Kirk Douglas's son that I was going to play for you. I can't seem to get the clip out of here, so it doesn't matter. All right, well done. Happy birthday, Kirk. 100 years old. That's quite a thing for a human to get to 100.
Sheesh.
Nicely done, man. And as Ben said, he was a real superstar in his day.
You know, now we look at him and we see an old man, but he used to be the guy.
He was like one of those original leading men in Hollywood.
Right.
Before it became a thing.
Right. He was born in obviously, 1916. Think about that. Before both world wars. Well, the first. Before.
During the first one, yeah.
Well, it was after it already, but before the Second World War. What a life.
All the things he has seen, or how he's watched the times change.
A man on the moon. Did you understand that?
He saw a man land on the moon.
Thank you, Kirk. Yeah, yeah, thanks. Mubs is the Kirk Whisperer.
I also saw the fall of the Berlin Wall.
He also saw the fall of the Berlin Wall.
It's amazing how you do that. Anything else, Kirk? What else did you see?
I saw my son Michael banging Hollywood starlets.
Oh.
What was that?
He also saw his son Michael banging Hollywood starlets.
Oh, what a proud father he must be.
If you're 100, but you've been married for 62 years, I mean, I'm trying to think how many women Kirk has had.
Oh, in his prime. In his prime, he was the king of the heap. He could have had anybody he wanted, right? And then he chose Anne, and they've stuck together. So good for him, keeping it all together as well. He's an example to everyone. What a guy. Good for Kirk Douglas. Anything else you want to say, Kirk?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
What did he say?
He's fine.
Okay.
He's good.
Well, nice of you to come in, Kirk. I know you've got other people you've got to be with on your 100th birthday, and nice of you to spend some time in your 101st year on Earth with us right at the beginning. Isn't that nice? When we come back, we'll have some news and some sport, and we'll take your calls. Plus, we've got a couple of interesting guests popping by in a short while. Don't go anywhere. DJ Carlo just sent me a picture of a bucket at the bottom of his shower. He says, that's how I'm going to save the environment and I'll have enough showers. So at least some people are thinking about it. And this is Marshmello featuring Omar and Keep It Mellow. Are you good? Are you good this morning? Are you having an excellent start to the week? Or are you having a terrible start so far? Sometimes you just wake up and you think everybody's against you because the first traffic light is red. Because you're late by 5 minutes, because there are people hooting at you, because maybe you got the sniffs. I don't know. Could be a bunch of reasons. Don't let it get you down.
Well, Gareth, on that note, since the end of that song, 44.4 million WhatsApp messages have been sent.
Oh. Yeah.
If you were wondering.
In just that time.
That time that you started speaking there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Along with 400 hours of YouTube content.
Very good. Yeah. It's impressive. Let us get into some stuff with Mubs. She's got some headlines for us. What do you have?
I don't know if you picked up the City Press on Sunday and kind of paged through it like a novel.
You know what?
Regarding the whole SABC debacle.
I wish I had, but I don't read newspapers anymore. I couldn't be bothered.
Okay. Well,
I mean, that's not a personal thing. I don't. When else did you buy a newspaper?
I could not tell you. There was a whole exposé that was done
on the SABC,
the inner workings, what's happening behind the scenes, and Claudia Motsoeneng, and, you know, all of them. So if you missed that, let me just give you a brief summary of what happened. So last week, remember, the sole board member, Professor Mbulayeni Maguve, he faced the parliamentary ad hoc committee last week, right, where they then staged a walkout, him and his legal team.
Right.
And they had refused to hand over 10 of 15 documents that the committee had asked for. Well, in this expose that was published in the City Press yesterday, a report that was conducted by the Auditor General back in March already has revealed some pretty interesting things.
Tell us some findings.
So,
I wish
I'd
bought the City Press.
Appointments at the SABC were made to posts that had not been advertised. That was one of the things that was discovered. Those who got the jobs didn't have the required qualifications or experience.
Well, like Cloudy, for example.
The SABC failed to procure goods or services through fair procurement processes. Then there's also that that favorite thing about mismanagement of funds and wastage, right?
Yeah.
The Auditor General discovered, or rather detailed, that at least 141 million rand in expenditure was unlawful, wasteful, irregular, it was fruitless.
How much?
At least 141 million rand.
Jeez, that's a lot of money here. That is a fortune of money to just be wasted, to be thrown away. Huh?
So the reason that the SABC had refused to hand over some of these documents was because, you know, they said, they cited commercial sensitivities. That was their reason. And so through their lawyers, the SABC executives claimed that some documents were missing. But as it turns out, the City Press managed to find at least this one report by the Auditor General. So it wasn't missing at all.
Huh.
They also said that what was also missing was a management report responding to the Auditor General's findings, a document detailing internal audit committee meetings, as well as another document about the appointment of Claudie Motsoeneng as the group CEO of corporate affairs.
Well, that appointment, I'd like to know who spearheaded that appointment. That's the conversation everybody wants to hear, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to know what happens next. Now we have it on paper. It's not like we didn't know before, but now it's in a report by the Auditor General. What happens next?
I don't know. This is just very it's murky. It's difficult to figure out what's going on there. That place is it's an enigma. And not in a good way. All right. Did you see they published that list of the 10 richest or the richest South Africans?
No, I didn't.
They
see
published that. A list of the richest people in South Africa. And right at the top of the pile, Christo Visser, who was on our show about a month ago. In fact, it was almost exactly a month ago. He was there at the launch of #Invest, which is what we started with Anthea. And I had an interview with him. You can go and listen to it on the podcasts. So if you feel like being one of the richest people in the next list, you need to learn from these people. Right? No point in sitting there and being resentful and hoping that they'll give you some. They won't. That's why they're rich. They're smarter than you. So you need to learn from them if you want to be smart too. Ben, what do you have for us in the sport? Let's get straight into it. What do you got this morning?
The Blitzboks came short in Cape Town Sevens. England won that one 19-17. Sundowns are out of the FIFA World Club Cup competition. They lost to the Kashmina Antlers 2-0. They're still there, though. They will play for the fifth-place playoff against Jonbok Hyundai.
Right. I've been waiting for that all my life.
Cape Town City.
Jonbok Hyundai.
Cape Town City have their first trophy. 2-1, they beat SuperSport United at the Peter McCubber Stadium in Polokwane. So they are the Telkom Knockout Cup final champions.
Right.
In the English Premier League, loads and loads of goals. Arsenal went top of the log for a little bit. They beat Stoke 3-1 in their 14 match unbeaten now. Mm-hmm. Leicester then got absolutely out of their shells finally for the first time this year by hammering Man City 4-2 in the rain. Chelsea, they regained top spot by beating West Brom 1-0, their ninth win in a row. And then Man United, they kind of gave their fans something to really cheer about. They beat Spurs 1-0 at home with that guy with a name like sounds like vegetarian. He got the goal. And then Liverpool, they drew 2-2 with West Ham to further just make their fans really upset.
Okay, but now what is the name?
he's Armenian. His name escapes me. But I know it sounds like vegetarian. I think it could be Macatarian or something. Don't quote me. In the crickets, well, England. England scored 400 runs, right? The last time they played in Mumbai against India, they scored 400 runs. They went on to win the test. So there they are, thumb up their bums, thinking that life is all jolly and everything. India then scored 631. Virat Kohli scored his third double hundred of the year. Now, for a lot of people, you score a double hundred once in your career, and you're like, wow, that's it, I've made it. He scored three by himself, just one year. And sure, he plays in India where it's easier to bat, blah, 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 blah. Virat Kohli is incredible. He is amazing. And if you play cricket, you want to be like him. England are nowhere near like him. So they all bowled out 195 runs in their second innings. So they lost by innings and 36 runs. That is it. 3-0. The series done. There's still one test to go. England want to do this test like you want to be in traffic this morning. They're finished.
They hate it that much, huh?
Bugger it. Yes, done. Oh. Who cares? So that is the third time in history that a team has actually lost
by an innings when they've scored 400 opening up. That's what England do. England just love these big collapses. And you've got to ask the question, how good is Alistair Cook as a captain if England have become so famous for these collapses? Does this even get questioned? I don't think it does. Chad Duclos and Cameron van den Berg, they just win gold medals. That's all I can say. They've won so many between the two of them this year. In the FINA World Short Course, Chad Duclos in particular, he's just the king of the short course pool. And in golf, the Hong Kong Open, a guy called Sam Brazel, he won it.
Sam Brazel.
It is a huge event, this Hong Kong Open. Some of the greatest names in golf are on this trophy, plus a guy called Sam Brazel. He went into the tournament ranked 480th in the world, and he said he wasn't playing so well. This just goes to show how difficult it is to bet on golf. No one knew Sam Brazel was, but he just waltzes through the field, and in a final day duel with Rafael Cabrera Bello, he won it. Clutch birdie putt on 18 after a great long iron into the green. And that's it. He's never won a four-round tournament in his entire life. He's been scraping around Australia, getting on the Asian Tour, and now he's won on the European Tour, which means that he can go play in all the great fancy events next
year. Imagine how his family feel. Like, 10 days ago, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. Now, suddenly, he's the biggest name in golf.
What even made it more sad, his wife suddenly died in 2009 of meningitis.
That's so awful.
Yeah. He's a tough run of things, but there he is, Hong Kong Open champion. And into Christmas he goes with a big smile on his face. Those are your big sporting headlines from the weekend.
Thank you, Ben. If you buy any Russell Hobbs appliance between now and the 15th of January, you could win a share of 350,000 Rand in cash and prizes. Visit russellhobbsrush.co.za. That's russellhobbsrush.co.za. Make a dash for it. Win a 30-second trolley dash and a share of 350,000 Rand in the Russell Hobbs Rush. That's right. Visit russellhobbsrush.co.za for more. Make January your second Christmas. Skrillex with Diplo and Mind. Holidays are coming. Oh, yeah. We're going to meet Kim McCusker just now. She is, you might have remembered Kim's story. She was knocked down by a taxi in Lone Hill. She was dragged for like 800 meters underneath the vehicle. Do you remember that story, Mavs? Mm-hmm. Horrible story. Anyway, she's written a book called Scarred, But Not For Life. It's an inspiring story of survival and courage and the will to live. And she joins us in a short while. We'll talk to her about what she's up to, what her life is like now, and that awful ordeal. I mean, it's just one of those things that, I mean, you wouldn't want that to happen to anybody, right? Terrible thing to happen. I'm going to speak to Kim and find out about all the things that she's been up to since then. Also, you know, how she's doing and how she got through it. There's a lot of us, after something like that happens, you kind of think, well, you know, the world's against me. This is just the end. So we'll find out from her. And that's Kim McCusker coming up in a short while. We also got, we're going to talk a little bit about some small business ideas and pitching your business to people and all the rest of it, which will be quite interesting. Find out all about how you can get into digital learning. You know, a lot of people are concerned that the universities won't open up next year or that they won't get a place at the university. So there are alternatives. There are things that you can do that could give you other options, things that you might want to do, something that might work better, it might be cheaper, might be something you can just do from the comfort of your own home, provided you're disciplined enough. That shouldn't hold you back. First things first, though, here is a parrot that sings Sears Chandelier.
Okay.
You know, I've often said that humans are not the smartest, that there are other animals that are much cleverer than we are. Listen to this parrot. Now, if this parrot can do this, then all singers must quit, and parrots should rule the music industry. All right? Tell me if you think it's good enough. It sounds exactly like Sia to me, right? Now, imagine you got home and you hear this going on in your house. You'd think, oh, God, no, the robbers are inside and they love Sia. Right? This animal's doing its best. Listen to this. It doesn't know all the words, so it gets stuck somewhere around I want to fly.
You know what they must teach that parrot next?
What?
Young Thugs, Riri.
It'll do that very well. That's a great song for it to learn next. Huh? Perfect. I love it, and so do you. All right, don't pretend you didn't. So someone says here, while we're talking about terrible singing, Anne Kirsten Fanikak says, people would pay to hear Ben sing.
Yeah, thanks, Anne.
Maybe we should do some Christmas versions of Ben singing.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
You know what that means, though, because if he's going to sing...
That's not what it has to mean. No, no. The people are asking for Ben. You've got to give the people what they want.
I'm giving the people. When I play anything by you, like that Take Me to Church, oh, people love that. They can't get enough, Mubs. Are you kidding me? People love, love, love when my buddy does Take Me to Church. It's their favorite song. In fact, let me see if I can't find the last time you did a Christmas song, now that you've reminded me.
I thought we were going to, you know, something that Ben has done.
I haven't done much. That's the thing. My portfolio is very, very limited.
I'm going to find something here. Hang on. Ah, I think I got it.
Damn it.
Yeah, here it is. My buddy. This will get you into the festive spirit. An oldie but a goodie. We need to record a new one.
I'm dreaming of a white this Christmas, not like the black guys I once knew, one that won't eat chicken and watch Generations and drink only Johnny Blue. I'm dreaming of a white.
Imagine with a two-tone khaki shirt.
Yeah.
And a blouse.
A guy who.
And a Hilux Bucky.
Said racist jokes. Who wears two-tone khaki and bras? And whose tiny penis won't surprise.
There we go. I mean, what a song. That was beautiful. I think.
Yeah, you've got real talent. Very, very talented, buddy.
Very nicely done. And then, of course, my buddy's favorite Christmas song of all. Well, it makes a laugh. I know that.
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock. It's the first time for you, so here's what you do. Unzip me and scoop me and show me you care. Don't go ripping out my pubic hair. Reach for my, grab for my, pull at my cock.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Isn't that just gorgeous? All right, everybody. What a ridiculous thing we do here every morning, huh?
It's a joke.
How do we end up doing this? It's madness. Okay, Dino Christodoulou says, I'm listening to the Cliff Central app right now. Ben, were you not supposed to have a show about cars, or did I hear wrong?
I was going to do more car content, but that's going to come in the new year. Sorry, things get a bit backlogged around here.
Yeah, we also are planning to do a bunch of new stuff in the new year when it comes to this show. So you may hear some different things, and we're going to just solidify the stuff that you really like and put it into, you know, into the spotlight and take away some stuff that we know people don't like as much. So if you have any suggestions, you can always send us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I try to respond to every single one of them. so we'd like to hear from you regardless. Just send me a message. All right, and if you have a parrot that can sing any song by Sia, I'll be very impressed too. I mean, who isn't impressed by that? Right? Listen to this. This is a pastor. Let me just find the right clip here. Because there are a couple. You know, we've got so many pastors who lose their minds. Listen to this one. This is a pastor who does an epic pro-gay sermon, believe it or not. You know, we often say horrible things about pastors.
Well, when they deserve it, yes.
This pastor is actually kind of open-minded. I think a lot of people would go for his take on things.
And God said to me, here's the problem. You guys in the church can be so hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in the African-American church, you really got to be careful. I said, what do you mean? He said, because you are guilty of condemning the Supreme Court system.
Now, remember, he's saying that he's spoken directly to God here, so he's not even making this up himself.
And preaching against something. But if you look at half of our choirs... and a great number of our artists that we call abominations and we call demons, we demonize and dehumanize the same people that we use, and we don't say nothing about the gay choir director because he's good for business. As long as the choir sound good, I ain't saying nothing about his sexuality. We have done what the slave master did to us. Dehumanize us, degrade us, demonize us, but then use them for our advantage.
These guys must get so tired by the end of a sermon. I mean, they put everything into it, right?
Yo, it sounds exhausting.
By the way, how awkward is it for the choir master at this point during the sermon? Right, just try and imagine that.
It's hypocritical to talk about the Supreme Court and calling them Sodom and Gomorrah, which is not what it's all about. But if that's the case, half our churches have been Sodom and Gomorrah for 100 years.
Oh. Hmm.
He told me, boy, you got to re-examine yourself. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, on one hand, you quote homosexuality is an abomination from Leviticus. But you say that right after you ate some shrimp, some catfish, and some lobster. You quote Leviticus while you're wearing a wool blend suit. It's also in Leviticus that you shouldn't wear mixed linens.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
It's in Leviticus that if your wife is on her cycle, that you shouldn't go in the same house with her or even sleep on the same bed with her. That's in Leviticus too.
This Leviticus is a shitty chapter, huh? It really is.
Here's my point. We pick and choose the scriptures that we want to use to beat folk up with.
Uh-oh. He's spoiling all the other pastors' thing here. He's stealing their mojo. They use Leviticus to get people fired up and scared of hell. Now he's basically letting you behind the curtain. This pastor may ruin it for everybody. You thought about that? This guy could change it for everyone. He's going to spoil everybody's fun.
Rather than look at our own lives. Let me tell you something. Yeah. If God wanted to judge America, he wouldn't need the Supreme Court system. If he wanted to judge America because of sin, he would judge me in 88 at the Freaknik in Atlanta. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me.
All right.
These folks are abomination. They're nasty. Tell you what you do then. Go find every song that's been written by a gay person for the last 100 years and don't sing it in church. Let's see how many songs you can minister on that Sunday.
Well, the Crowder and...
Bishop, don't tell me what the Bible says about homosexuals and you change wives like we change underwear. Sit yourself, your hypocritical self down.
And the crowd went wild. That's quite a sermon. He's really pulling the veil back on a lot of their games. I mean, this is one of their favorite things. You know, these homophobic pastors in churches like that, they like to say, Leviticus. And there he is. He's tearing it open.
Can you imagine a conversation between this pastor and Pastor Manning? Because how Pastor Manning feels about.
They would not get along well. No. Pastor Manning, he does not like the gay people. Mm-mm-mm. And then here's another Christian pastor who destroys a gay pastor. You know, they can't make up their mind whether they're for or against each other. Just listen to this.
You know, I'd be interested to know, Dr. Thomas, and by the way, welcome to Dallas. I'd be interested to know your perspective on religious freedom. For example, should those bakers in Oregon who had the Sweet Cakes bakery and refused to bake a cake for a lesbian wedding, do you think the government was right to sanction them? Should they be put out of business like they are because they will not violate their religious conscience and serve a same-sex marriage ceremony? Do you think they ought to be fined by the government, or was the government wrong?
Dr. Jeffress, do you believe that those who opposed slavery and those who opposed interracial marriage should not have had the law protect them and to ensure that both black and white people were able to drink out of the same fountain?
So I take it your answer is yes, they should have their business taken away from them because they won't bake a wedding cake for a gay ceremony. Is that true?
I didn't ask that, Dr. Jeffress.
No.
I asked you what your...
But you won't answer the question, will you?
You won't answer my question.
I do not believe race is the same as sexual choice. I have an African-American pastor friend here in this community who says, don't equate sin with the color of my skin. And I believe many people of color, not all, but many, take offense that you equate sexual choices with skin color. That's very offensive to many people.
It's very offensive to me that you would equate my sexual orientation as a sexual choice.
Can you imagine being stuck in this argument? Imagine even more how awful it would be if you were in an Uber with these people.
Oh.
And they were in the back seat arguing about this shit and you just want to get to where you're going. Huh? Worst trip ever. Hashtag worst trip ever, right? Ugh. Anyway, you can't actually debate. You know, this is the problem. It's like when someone thinks they're right and they use words like sin, you can't really have a reasonable argument with them. You can't sit down there and go, well, you know, the law is that there are basic human rights and that you can't say someone is a sinner or someone has sinned. That's a Bible law. That's made up in your head. Some people don't understand this stuff. They to them it's like you're blaspheming when you say that. I don't even know what the answer is in this case. All I can tell you is that I never want to be in a conversation like that. It would just drive me crazy. Make me mad. Sitting with this dude who says that the X person is a sinner, and then he tries to make it seem like it's insulting to black people when they're categorized in the same group as homosexual people who've also been discriminated against for years. Why wouldn't they feel a kinship in that discrimination, a feeling of you know, shared oppression? He says no. He knows black people who get very offended when you know.
Well, he has a black friend, you see.
One black friend.
That's how he knows. Yeah,
he's got the one. You've got a story about Trump.
Oh, well, you know, the conversation around the American elections that took place is still ongoing. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about how the Democrats were asking for a recount.
Yeah, it's not going so well for them so far.
Yeah, you know, because they were, you know, the whole popular vote versus the electoral vote thing, mm-hmm. which for some of us is still confusing. But more recently, it is the Republicans that are now having to deal with a bit of drama on their own.
Yeah.
President-elect Donald Trump's incoming chief of staff, he has now said that it is insane to suggest that Russian hacking influenced the outcome of Trump's win, because these are the allegations that are being made.
Yeah, people are saying that Russia influenced stuff towards the end of the election, yeah.
The CIA has concluded with high confidence that Russia did seek to influence a U.S. election on behalf of the Republican. And so Trump's chief of staff is now coming out, putting out all the fires and saying, no. At the very least, you know, we would support further investigations into these allegations being made by the CIA.
Hmm.
In no way did Russia influence. There was no hacking system. None of that happened.
Well, remember, Hillary was the one who said that Russia was behind the leaking of her emails.
The Clinton emails.
Yeah. And therefore that Russia was playing some part in trying to get Trump elected.
Now, if that's true, can you imagine the consequences for America? Imagine if Russia got to decide how they wanted to influence a domestic election in the US in order to get their preferred candidate in.
Very problematic.
Yeah.
And so lawmakers of both parties are now calling for the issue to be examined further.
Yeah.
To try and get to the bottom of it.
It's scary stuff.
I mean, Trump.
Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin's hold on power grows stronger every day. Lord Voldemort.
Can't trust anybody. Can't trust a single politician.
He's doing his thing. Unreal. Okay. When we come back, we'll meet Kim McCusker. She's got an incredible tale. It's a story of real bravery, real survival, courage, and overcoming all kinds of difficulty. And we're going to speak to her about how her journey went and what she experienced and who helped her through it, because it couldn't have been something she did all on her own. And we'll find out all about that and more in the next little while. 0861-555-189 if you want to call us, if you want to message us directly to screen from the Touch Central, Cliff Central app. You can also tweet us, or you can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. There are thousands of ways of getting hold of us. Any of them will and can and do work. So give it a go. Let's hear from you this morning. See what you're up to.
Touch Central. Amplifying your HD radio experience this summer.
Right. Now, you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been doing an Adidas blog boost, where we basically give someone who's in sports blogging a chance to explain how they got into it, what they do, how they monetize it, who they managed to get involved, how you put it all together, and where you find the audience for the kind of blog that you're writing. And for many people, this is a tough business. For Ben Karpinski, who comes in here every morning to tell us about the sport, it isn't. It's part of his life. It's what he does. And Adidas got you down to Cape Town to host some of this this presentation that you gave to a whole bunch of sports bloggers.
Yeah, Gareth, there's a really cool opportunity to share some of my learnings from 6 years. And then we had some of the prize winners come in for some little podlets, basically unpacking every single facet of what was learned through that day.
Take a listen to this, and it might just help you to get your own sports blog started.
Touch Central and Adidas. Creating the new.
Starting a sports blog, making it happen, making it monetized, and creating the new. That's what we've been speaking about for the past few weeks with our good friends over at Adidas. It's about inspiring a new breed of sports bloggers in SA. A guy that seems to have that model waxed is Ben Karpinski, who's hanging out.
Hi, Ari. Nice to be back.
There he is. Yeah. Ben's going to tell us how much money he makes in a second. Well, that may come next week. We'll see what we can get out of him.
It'll be a very short podcast.
But today we are speaking about something very important, which is creating blogging networks to help improve your net worth as we look towards speaking about how to monetize your sports blog. Joining us also in this edition is one of the Adidas Boost bloggers competition winners who was with us in Cape Town a little earlier on, Lebogang Kolo, who's from olutando.co.za. She's a yummy mummy blogger, also a chemical engineer, and making this blog thing really, really work for her and taking it to the next level. So, Ben, when we speak about blogging networks, is this like you guys meet up once a month? Like, how does this, what does it mean?
Well, it means that you have to get like-minded people around you in order to grow as a blogger. When I started out, I thought I had a good idea, but that was it. It means nothing. Other people need to read your stuff, critique your stuff, ultimately try to share your stuff. That's where it's going to go. And that's the only way you're going to get out there, because when you start and your social media account says three, and it's your mother, and it's your brother, and it's a good friend of yours, you need other people. You need other people who are doing the same thing like you to help increase that pool.
The importance of networks, Lebogang, in getting your blog to where it is now, how have you worked with other yummy mummies?
I think it's extremely important to sell yourself. First of all, to find them, I had to be on social media and use all the other platforms. But the relationship is super great, because you find that we all have the same questions, we all have the same problems, and so we end up sharing, and you grow your network that way. You know, you'll have recommendations from the other moms, and then this is how you grow as a blogger.
So say, for instance, there's a hashtag around, who knows, nannies. Okay, so say you need to have a nanny. People are going to look at that because they are needing nanny content, whatever it may be, hypothetically speaking, of course. Maybe not the best example, but you see what I mean. You go on that, you see Lebo's work, you click on that, you find the website, you go, hey, she's doing the exact same thing I'm going through. whatever that is, suddenly your network has a basis because like-minded content. And that's the beauty of blogging, is that you get people who are doing things out there. Mm. You relate to them, you trust their content, you share their content, and just like that, there's stuff out there that can be used.
And have you found that everyone is willing to work with each other?
Very much so. It depends on the network that you get, but most of the time you will find people who are willing to do that. Like I said, I started off as a mommy blogger, and we have a whole community of mommy bloggers. We all, you know, meet on Saturdays or over coffee or, you know, and whatever issue that you have, you share with one mom, to a point where we even ask each other, you know, how much are you charging for this project? Mm. And some mothers will even recommend you for certain jobs. So that is where the networking actually starts happening. This is where you grow the most. Mm. Yeah.
See, it doesn't make any sense if you keep your stuff to yourself, because if you're looking at a brand perspective, getting back to that industry, if there's going to be one blogger doing something, they'll look at it and go, yeah, it's okay, but what's the audience like? If there's 10 bloggers doing something like that and they all seem to be relatively similar and keep doing new things, inspiring each other, then it's an industry worth putting money into. And it's the opinions that are worth actually looking into.
All right, let's land this plane and wrap it up in a sentence from Lebo and from Ben. Creating blogging networks to improve your net worth is important because...
extremely important for you to grow as a blogger. You cannot work as an individual. Use your hashtags, use social media, make sure that you're out there to find all the other bloggers. And that way, that's how you're going to grow.
I think ultimately it's important to know you are a cog in the greatest scheme of building this whole blogging industry, and everyone together makes a pretty big cog. And before I know it, that's a good machine.
All right, Lebo, you get the shameless plug. What are we pushing? How do we get involved with you?
Okay, social media, Instagram, that's Mrs. X. Lifestyle, and on Twitter, I'm Mrs. X Lifestyle.
Fantastic. Next time we wrap this entire series up, speaking about how to monetize your blog and make it rain, essentially. That's next time.
Touch Central and Adidas, creating the new. CliffCentral.com.